Welcome to podcast 36, Lauren and Fritz podcast. This is the part two of the year in review that was 2010.
Guys, it's 2010 may have been a really shitty year, but I tell you what, not too bad for music and movies, actually. Movies more than music, I'd say, but
absolutely.
So I guess we got to start off full force here because I felt bad. Last one was kind of rushed because we had a lot of stuff to talk about, so that's why we're doing
this thing. It's two parts.
Two-parter, but we left with quite a debate about Mr. Kanye West and his fantasies. So since we did the last podcast, we had a couple of days here, and I really sat down and I listened to the Kanye West album, and I don't think that my opinions have changed one bit. I mean, I really tried, and to me, it just... maybe I just don't like the Kanye West sound, but the beats and everything like that, just still, it sounded... like it sounded almost stale to me the second time that I listened. Not stale, but just like sort of, it seems like Kanye West is almost a one trick pony with his raps. Like, you know, na 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 na. Like he just has that kind of flow, comes out like in almost every single song, I think.
I don't know. Because I feel that there's a definite sound to every rapper. I mean, to every singer, that's what they sound like. Because, I mean, I would say Eminem.
I did
Eminem.
Agree with you more that Jay-Z sounded a little more lackluster when I listened to it the second time around as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just still wasn't even – Monster just isn't – I don't know. I wasn't really blown over with it. But for me, though, I think that's where you and I differ quite a bit, though. I can't think of – a single hip hop record, with the exception of Eminem's first album, that front to back, I can really listen to and really enjoy.
I do feel that there is a level of resistance in, like, if you don't normally listen to rap, the concept of listening to an entire rap
album.
Thing
is, I enjoy rap, though. Like, that's the thing, is I don't hate it. And yeah. I do think that Kanye West does have some good songs. I mean, I know it's a bit trite, but, I mean, Gold Digger is – that's a solid song.
It's
a damn good song.
I mean, maybe so what would you say is an album – like, another rap – is Eminem's album the only rap album that you know that you – can consistently listen to front to back? Are there other ones?
That's what I'm trying to think of. Well, you know, I really do like MF Doom. But like embarrassingly, the one that I really like is the Aqua Teen Hunger Force one they did, or the Adult Swim. What was it called? Danger Doom.
Danger Doom. Okay.
I actually thought that was a good one front to back, but it was kind of based around a cartoon series. So.
Well, it's kind of funny because that one I thought was kind of hit and miss for me. I thought there were a couple songs that were really good, and then a couple.
I haven't heard it in a long time, but I did Deltron 3030 as well.
So a lot more like indie backpacker stuff.
Exactly. I think that's why, you know, I don't know.
I mean, that might explain it. I mean, you know, and Kanye is, I mean, he one time was sort of a backpack rapper on his first album, but now he's, you know, driving around in Lambos looking like Rambo. So I mean, that's not really going to appeal to the backpacker crowd.
It probably still, though, is just, I still just think of him as the biggest douchebag. So that is still holding me back from really enjoying it, which is it's my problem. But I mean, I will say that some of the beats were okay. I just wasn't really blown away. It has a really kind of dark overtone, the album does too. Like, that's what I kind of got, is it the whole thing sounds kind of dark.
Yeah, well, it is. It's absolutely a dark record. I mean, guy was going through some shit. And he's got a persecution complex, so yeah. It's going to be dark.
Yeah. So that's where we stand on that, and I was still trying to think of some more, because I felt really douchey sitting here going, oh, the Toadies album was really good, but Kanye West sucks. You know, like, I realized that that's not appropriate. So, yeah, we have to agree to disagree, Lauren.
Yeah, that's fine.
I say that album is ball-less.
Oh, well, degree to disagree.
I don't think I'm ever going to listen to it again.
Okay.
You know, does this count, though? Because it's more of a greatest hits, but Jay-Z Unplugged.
That's Rachel's favorite Jay-Z album. I included it on my best albums of the 2000s list because it's super great.
Because even then, Blueprints and everything like that, I find has some filler. And even Blueprint 3, Young Forever, just killed it.
Blueprint 3 has a lot of problems. I mean, that's not a good record. It's honestly, when I think of Blueprint 3, I think on to the next one, and you can basically shelve the rest of it.
I will agree that is a fantastic song.
Oh, on to the next one. Well, it's kind of like, I like to think that he had the album pretty much done, and then Swizz Beatz came over and said, oh, you should have a good song on this record, at least one. So that's how that worked.
See, I listened to Busta Rhymes when Disaster Strikes, and still that one had some filler, and that was one of my favorite ones growing up, but I realize I still skip a lot of tracks on there.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, here, Jay-Z albums that with no filler, I would say, I feel the Blueprint's pretty much filler free. I don't think there's any filler in the Blueprint. And the Black Album's pretty much...
That's the one I was thinking of. Black Album's pretty.
Black Album is yeah, pretty much killer. I mean, I had an argument with, well, not an argument. It was a discussion, but Lauren can turn it into an argument. And she, and basically I said that if there was any tracks that might be construed as filler, Threat and Depending Moment of Clarity.
But I like Moment of Clarity.
Well, the thing with Moment of Clarity is it has that plodding Eminem beat. But Jay-Z lyrically is killing it on that track, so he still rescues it.
I will say I do listen to remixes of Moment of Clarity more than the original track.
Oh, but yeah, well, anybody's gonna have this beat. Oh, barking dog. Anyway, do we want to talk now about the top movies of 2010?
Let's do it. Let's do it here, because okay. I got a list up, and this is something that's I really, really can talk about this one a little bit more. Because, okay. I mean, well, I guess, should we count them down? What's your five? We'll go with your five.
Okay, because I did five, because I had four, and that felt ridiculous, so I knew I had to have...
I got a five for sure.
I have five, so we'll start with my number... We'll do my number five, then we'll do your number five. That's
sounds good.
We'll do it like that. So my number five is The Social Network, which, as I like to say, David Fincher back making movies that are enjoyable again.
Now, wait a minute. Is this number five?
This is number five.
Okay.
And, it was just, just a lot of fun.
It was the same thing when we tried to talk about it on the podcast. The thing with it is there's not much you can say about The Social Network because you watch it and you go, that's a damn fine movie. I don't have really much else to say about it. It's just a good movie.
Jesse Eisenberg, very enjoyable. Andrew Garfield, very handsome. Right, Rachel? Yeah, Rachel's feeding the turtle and agreeing with me. And, you know, David Fincher, he can make people sitting in a room talking interesting. So
I will say the main thing about The Social Network, though, is it just made me want to learn the real story even more. That's how you know it's a really good movie, when it's, you know, you're just sitting there going, wow, what really did happen? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But just it's a must-see movie, especially since everyone's on Facebook. But just a solid movie. There's nothing... You know, I don't know. The one thing that creeped me out, though, is I didn't realize this until a couple weeks ago, and it kind of blew my mind. I didn't know that the twins were played by one guy.
Yeah.
That was flawless special effects that they did on that one. I didn't know you could make two
people.
It's
pretty good.
That
there's
good.
A couple shots, because I knew about it, because that guy was on Reaper, and I don't remember this, but Rachel said he was on Veronica Mars, Armie Hammer. There's a couple shots where his head, when it's on and the other guy's body, is a little shaky. But that's like one scene. For most of the movie, it is rather seamless.
Yeah, if you didn't know, you wouldn't notice.
No.
So, okay, what do we got for number four?
Well, what's your number five?
My number five, it probably got to be Kick-Ass.
Really?
I did enjoy that movie a lot more. I know you kind of panned it, but I really enjoyed that movie. I thought it was action packed. I thought the storyline was good. I liked the special effects on it, like the underdog sort of tone of it. I really did enjoy Kick-Ass.
You know, I'll sign up for the Nicolas Cage parts, but that was, and some of the mobster stuff was good, but other than that, wasn't really a fan. I got major issues with Hit Girl that I'm never going to get over. So.
See, I loved that. I was going to say one of my standout features was when Nicolas Cage was tied up and she comes in and wipes out the whole crowd of people in the dark with the night vision stuff like that. That was, I don't know, it was this killer scene. I loved that movie. I thought it was action packed. I liked the film style of it. It was a lot darker than I thought it was going to be. I don't know. Because I didn't get the sense where you said, like you said that it made it sound like everything is okay if you try to be a superhero. And
well,
it
spent half the movie showing you that being a superhero is a terrible idea, and then it backs off from that and makes all his dreams come true.
But that's what a movie is.
Yeah, I've seen that movie.
It can't be 100% everything sucks.
Well, that, and also that's not what Kick-Ass the comic was about. I know you haven't read the comic, but the comic had a point. When you change the point of the source material, it's pointless. It's like the change the end to I Am Legend. When you change the end of I Am Legend, then it's just a movie where Will Smith fights soul vampires or whatever they were.
Except for they changed the ending for the Dr. Manhattan,
Watchmen.
Watchmen.
Well,
and
they
I
changed
think that
it,
that was
but
for
they
the
didn't.
Better.
They changed it, but they didn't change the intent. Does that make sense? Like, what happened is different, but why it happened was the same.
Okay, yeah. But
there was
still,
a great tragedy, but why, you know, the villain did it was different. Listen to me trying to dodge Watchmen spoilers. What the hell? Who hasn't read or seen Watchmen at this point? My God.
It's on TBS now.
It's on TBS now. How do they handle that sex scene? They probably mess it all up. All
right. It was on a hotel. I was in a hotel and it was on bog standard cable TV. So
wow. There you go.
All right. It's really hard to watch that movie with commercials. So I would probably rate Kick-Ass at number five, actually, of the top five.
Okay.
All right. So you're number four.
Black Swan.
Mm-hmm.
Darren Aronofsky. Can't stop, won't stop. Guy's great. Everything he does. And you saw it. You said it fucked you up pretty hard, right?
It caught me completely off surprise because I did not see that one coming into it. Like, I thought it was going to be, it was a little creepy. Not even a little creepy. I thought, I didn't think there was going to be much in terms of how exactly demented it actually is. Like, mm-hmm. It's not creepy. It is completely messed up. Like,
That's Darren Aronofsky. He goes crazy or he goes home. That's all he knows. He's like, I'm going to make this movie about this girl and she's going to be losing her mind and I'm going to show you that in the craziest detail. And he follows it through right to that end shot.
Now that one actually is, now we got to go spoilers since we're doing back and forth, is that one actually came up as number two on my list of top five, just because it blew me away out of left field. Because I was just expecting something completely different out of it and it just really hit me out of left field and I went, holy shit, man, this one really hit me and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So that was that's actually number two on my list.
Okay. Well, all right. What was your number four?
Now my number four, Saw 3D. No, I'm just,
oh my God. I had a heart attack.
Geez, oh Peach, what would I rate at number four? I would probably put Inception at number four.
Okay.
Just because I kind of really wasn't blown away by it, but at the same time it was still really good. I think it was a little overly hyped for me. I think it probably would have been a little bit higher, which it was on a lot of people's lists, but just kind of really you know what I mean, it was overly hyped for me a little bit, but it was
still
delivered.
One really enthusiastic review you're giving right now, let me just say.
is it really? Because I
feel
like
you're
oh
like
my God,
it's
this thing's
number
the greatest
four
thing.
But, you know, let's not overrate it.
Yeah, because it was, Yeah, I don't know. It just sits at number four because it was good, but it wasn't great. But everyone else said it was great. But then I watched it and I was like, like normally when you'll tell me like, oh, this was the best movie ever, like Kanye West, best record of the year, I go and listen to it and I'm like, oh, really? You know, when you get overly hyped like that, you normally end up pretty disappointed by it. But I actually wasn't that disappointed.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the hell, are we doing a podcast? I got this shit to say.
I mean, no spoilers for me, but Inception didn't make my list, so
I didn't think so.
You know, I mean, I didn't hate Inception, but I remember when I saw it right around the snow scene. I remember thinking this movie could be over. You know, we don't need. I hope there's not another layer to the dreams. At this point, we can wrap this up. So my number three is Scott Pilgrim versus the World,
which I still haven't seen.
Come on!
I don't know what's going on. I think Amber saw it, and that's why I haven't seen it. That always happens, where if Amber sees a movie and I don't get a chance to see it, I'm not watching that movie again.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's we own it. Because I loved it so much. I mean, honestly, I was excited for this movie, but I didn't think it was going to be as good as it turned out to be. It blew me away. It just in every, I mean, right from the opening shot of the movie, like the opening of the movie, and then the camera is just panning back, and the credits are starting, and my brain is melting, and I'm like, this is the beginning. There's still so much more to go. Yeah, just fantastic, super funny. Anyone who doesn't like this movie should kill themselves. honestly, it's oh, that's you.
And as we make our return to the Lauren and Fritz podcast, that, ladies and gentlemen, was the sound of a smoke alarm.
Oh, that's what I thought it was. Okay.
Because my wife is being a lovely wife and making me my birthday dinner. So I have...
Is it your birthday?
In a couple hours, I guess it will be once midnight comes hits.
Oh, well, heck. Happy early birthday.
Well, thank you. I don't really care about my birthday, but... I'll take a free home-cooked meal out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyways, now that we got the smoke alarm, and I'm sure one of my items for dinner is ruined. But
there you go. What is your number three movie of 2010?
My number three movie, see, it's kind of hard because I am kind of just doing this, you know, on the fly. Mm-hmm. So if I had to put one... at number three, Pete, I'm trying to really think because I know, like, I'm thinking of the other movies that I saw, and I put Black Swan, I know, at where did I put Black Swan at number?
You said you had Black Swan at number two. Spoiler alert.
Oh, number three was Social Network then, right? What did I put Social Network at? Number five?
No, number five was Kick Ass. You are literally making up this list as we go along, and I love you for it.
Yes. Well, because quite frankly, I know my number one. So okay. I'd probably put Social Network at number – because I know Social Network is coming in at number three. Okay. And then number two would have to be Black Swan, and then I know what my number one is.
Okay.
So that's it. Just spelled.
Okay. Don't tell me anything. All right. So we already talked about what you liked about Social Network.
Because I know we're not going to agree on number one.
Okay.
So.
No. My number two was Mother, which is, I forget the name of the director, but he's the guy who directed The Host. It's from, this is bad. I don't know where it's from. Is it from Korea, Rachel? Rachel thinks it's from Korea. She's going to check for me. But either way, it's a fantastic film. It's a murder mystery. It's also kind of funny. Because that's how that director rolls. Anyway, the director of this movie, have you seen The Host, Fritz?
No, I have not.
It's this movie about this. What's it? Wait, Rachel? Bong Joon-ho. South Korean. All right, there we go. But in the movie The Host, there is a scene in a funeral. It's one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen in a movie. Then there's a funeral scene in Mother, It's one of the craziest scenes in the movie. If this guy has a funeral in a movie, get ready for fireworks. That's how he rolls. And it's funny. It's engrossing. It sucked me in from like frame one. You're just like, what is going on in this movie? There's a dancing old lady in a field. Where are you going with this movie? And he takes you there. And this movie could be called Mother parentheses Real Talk, because this movie is real talk beginning to end. Love Mother. Recommended to everybody. Fantastic movie. My number two.
I never even heard of it.
It was on Netflix Instant. I don't know.
You were talking to a Blockbuster family, sir.
I'm sorry. Well, they're bankrupt, so how much longer are you going to be a Blockbuster family?
Actually, funny story. We got to keep this on the DL.
Okay. We'll only talk about it on a podcast.
Amber store is closing in 2 months. They got the official word.
Word. Oh. So,
we're getting fucking unemployment.
Hey, now.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. No,
checks
yeah,
be coming in.
So, yeah, we will be getting Netflix probably about 3 months.
Sounds good. It's going to change your life. All right, so your number two was Black Swan. Anything else you'd like to add about Black Swan?
Oh, no, just that. Just you got to see it, but just because it just takes you – like even when I'm saying this, it still doesn't prepare me. Like if I was to watch it again, I would still – if I watched it again right now, I would still go, what the – this is crazy.
That's
crazy.
It's so good.
Scratching herself. What's going on? Mm-hmm. What's going on?
All right.
So still just, it's just nuts, man.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then I guess I'll go with my number one.
What is your number one
first?
Sir?
Because I have a feeling yours is going to be a little bit more of a bigger deal than mine. But number one, hands down, the best movie that I saw this year was Toy Story 3.
See, and I haven't seen Toy Story 3. So.
No other movie I saw hit me emotionally like that one did. I did get choked up at the end of it. I was fighting tears back on my 3D glasses, which that movie did not need to be in 3D. That was just a pitiful ploy to charge you an extra couple of bucks. But
I say that speaks to the quality of the film, though. If you – it didn't need to be in 3D and you still – were able to enjoy it, even though you knew as you were watching it that you had been bilked out of some money.
Oh yeah, I didn't care because it's such a really good storyline. You care about the characters even more in this third one, and it just completes the storyline in a way that only Disney can. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know how Disney can do that? They can take everything, wrap it up in such a little package that you're just such a little happy boy at the end of it, and that's what it did. That's strictly what it did at the end of it. I'm just like, oh, I feel so warm and fuzzy inside. It's just, but it's you gotta see, you know, all three of them. It's a trilogy. You gotta see Toy Story 1, 2, and 3 to really appreciate all of them. And it's just such a fine set of films.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah, I've seen Toy
Andy
Story.
Andy went to college, man. He went to college. He doesn't play with toys no more. He's playing with girls' vaginas.
Oh, really? Okay, I'm definitely bumping it up in my Netflix queue. Rest assured.
Well, I mean, you know, it doesn't actually show Andy getting it on in college.
We don't get to see Pixar vaginas? Oh,
no.
Wow.
But I would imagine it would look pretty damn good. That would have made it 3D.
Well, if anybody can make a really good-looking vagina, it's probably Pixar.
So yeah, I you gotta see it. It's just such a. But I mean, have you seen the other Toy Stories?
Oh yeah. I've seen them both once. I saw Toy Story sometime in the 90s. I saw Toy Story 2. My
see, that's what's really great is it comes out of nowhere too, because you saw the first two movies and you go, well, there didn't really need to be a third one.
No.
But you watch the third one and you go, I'm glad I saw a third one. And very rare. How often does a third movie ever do that?
This is true. I'm trying to think of American Wedding. Boom. I'm a hardcore American Wedding fan. I will rep American Wedding forever. American Wedding, I think, is better than the original American Pie and American Pie 2.
The only thing I can say about that is the reason why I didn't start laughing when you said that was because I was waiting for you to start laughing first.
Oh, because you know I'm going to laugh so much at the fact that I really like American Wedding.
But,
right
but
now, Rachel's
got,
giving
you know,
me the
like
look
you
she
and,
gives
like
me.
Face
whenever.
Off, you know, you got some unpredictables.
I do. Face Off, American Wedding. Rachel's giving me that look right now whenever I rep American Wedding. It's a look that says, we're getting married when?
Now, real quick, though, before we get to your number one, though, I just noticed, because as I was frantically looking, I was looking at some other people's, you know, top lists and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I saw some really peculiar ones on here, just as we look at the year in review, obviously. Mm-hmm. A couple of the movies that that maybe didn't make the list, because I know this isn't going to be your number one, but Shutter Island, I see, was popping up on people's lists.
I like Shutter Island. It just, I liked it. It was really good. Just didn't make... I mean,
if you like
maybe
a mystery where you know the end when it starts, then that's the movie for you.
I didn't really – I don't know if it wasn't that. Because, I mean, once I know it, then it kind of makes sense. But when I was watching it, I wasn't really thinking of the twist. I was kind of just enjoying the ride. And then when the twist came, I said, "All right, I'll take that." Now
so
I know
wasn't even impressed with the ride because of the fact that I was getting ready for Black Swan. I was getting ready for something creepy because you have an island with a bunch of insane people, but you never see many of the insane people. You see the one crazy lady who whispers in front of her, and then you just see, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio and a couple of doctors the whole rest of the time. Not creepy, not really engaging.
I don't know. I thought Scorsese was still bringing his A game. You know, I didn't think he was phoning it in. It still looked amazing. Some of the effects shots with Michelle Williams and the flashbacks, that stuff was pretty excellent. I thought all the acting was top notch. I mean,
She drowned all her kids. That was kind of cool.
that should be the poll quote. They really should have used that. Could have filled a couple more seats with that one.
Shutter Island, stick in there. She kills the kids.
There you go.
I saw Piranha 3D sticking up on people's lists, and I'm like, what is that doing anywhere?
No. I nominate the 10 minutes in the middle, and that's it.
The 10 minutes where Amber got up and went to the bathroom.
That's right. The 10 minutes where Amber missed the best part of the movie.
So there's some of the bombs that I couldn't believe that people were putting as their top list because those movies did suck. But anyways, so I'm curious now as to what's your number one.
My number one movie of 2010 was The Ghost Rider, Roman Polanski's not so veiled attack on Tony Blair and politics. I'm being very open and not descriptive with this, but it's very, very great. Roman Polanski. He may be a terrible individual for the things he's done, but as a director, he can do no wrong. He's great. He's really great at being a director.
Now, what's this movie about? Because that's another one off my list.
You didn't
off
know about
my
that
radar.
Okay. Pierce Brosnan is the now retired Prime Minister of Britain. He's writing his biography. Very beginning of his movie, the ghostwriter who is working with him washes up dead on the shore near his house. And so they get in Ewan McGregor to finish the book, and strange things happen. Ewan McGregor starts digging around, finding out things aren't as he thought they were, and... you know, you might say he gets in a little over his head, and it's got a couple twists as it goes along, and the final scene is a gangbuster. It's really great, but it's also kind of funny in a couple scenes. I felt, you know, it definitely felt at parts like, hey, what if like a normal person like you or me found themselves wrapped up in some crazy plot? How would they respond to it? And this movie answered that. It's well acted. Pierce Brosnan's great. You know, it's across the board. I mean, it was one of those things where I was watching it and I was just like, man, this movie could go on forever. That's kind of the rating of how I would rate like movies. Like last year was like, what if a movie was going and I never wanted it to end, I just wanted to follow these characters forever and just see what they were doing for a long time, that's how it would make my list. That's what was
you
going
just
on.
Describe the Room to me, because yes. I really want to know what Tommy Wiseau does on a day-to-day basis.
Yes. You know, yeah. Well, who wouldn't want – well, you can't really follow Tommy's character at the end of The Room. He's dead. Spoiler alert for The Room. But, yeah, but yeah, it was, you know, at the end of Scott Pilgrim, I just wanted to keep going with these characters. I wanted like a million Scott Pilgrim movies. It didn't do well, so we won't get a million Scott Pilgrim movies, but we'll always have the one. So,
Are we ready to hang up 2010, move into 2011?
I am ready to hang it up. It was fun, y'all, but 2011, let's make it happen. Let's do it.
Well, so far we have the surprise of the Suburbs from Indianapolis winning Album of the Year.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of think pieces about people not knowing who the Arcade Fire is. Which to you and I, it's like, how do you not know who the Arcade Fire is? How do you know?
This is how I describe it, because I've had a lot of old people ask me who's the Arcade Fire, and mm-hmm. I go, did you ever see that preview for Where the Wild Things Are?
Yes,
it's that music.
I think that's the best way to go about it. That might be the best way to tell everybody. I have a kid I work with, and he apparently pulled some YouTube videos up, and based off of those YouTube videos, deemed Arcade Fire not worthy of Album of the Year, and also said they sound like Coldplay, which is wrong.
No.
That's not there.
What track do you listen to get Coldplay?
There's no track. It must have been a mislabeled YouTube video. I don't know. My
biggest gripe with this is because I do know who the Arcade Fire is just... How does Arcade Fire win Album of the Year on the Grammys while Wolf Parade gets buried under nothing? You know what I mean? I mean, even if we go back to Apologies to the Queen Mary, I mean, how is Wolf Parade not bigger when Arcade Fire is now literally getting Grammy of, you know?
I would say that when you talk about how their music sounds – and what becomes popular.
Arcade Fire more accessible than Wolf Parade?
Oh, I would say easily Arcade Fire has enough big anthems that...
And see the man's haircut. It's atrocious.
Oh, well, he has that haircut, as he said in an interview, because he's a rock star. And only rock stars can get away with terrible haircuts all the time. So that's why he has a terrible haircut.
Look at Spencer Krug of Wolf Parade. That is a crew cut. That is you can set your watch to that hair. Mm-hmm. That is what mainstream really wants.
I don't know. I can see why, because I would dare to say that Wolf Parade make more difficult music, and mm-hmm. Arcade Fire inherently make big anthems. That's what they're moving towards. Uh-huh. And also, you know, they made a big quote unquote. Concept record about living in the suburbs, growing up, America. You know, the Grammys love that shit.
I love hearing a record about America from a bunch of Canadians. It's fantastic.
Well, that is not entirely true, because Wynn is originally from Texas.
Is he really?
Yeah, he grew up in Texas.
Oh, okay.
And he moved to Montreal when he was in like his 20s. So,
oh, okay.
That's something that people should just remember. Hey, the main guy, he's American. Relax. Also, best Arcade Fire record is still the first one. So, oh, yeah.
I even thought Neon Bible was better than the Suburbs. Although, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Neon Bible's not that good, but it does have No Cars Go, and My Body Is a Cage, which are two of like the best Arcade Fire songs. At the very end of the album, you just have to sit through the first like 9 songs.
Well, I guess we can say now America does know who the Arcade Fire is.
Hey, you can't say you don't know who they are now. So,
because they are technically better than Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, and Eminem put together.
Well, yeah. Come on. That's the other thing. People are all getting mad. I'm like, okay, what was the competition? A really terrible Eminem record. I don't care how many copies it sells. I don't care if it becomes the best-selling album of all time. Recovery sucks balls. Deal with it, America. All right. Katy Perry's album. That album's not very good. I sat through half of it. It's kind of boring, y'all. Lady Antebellum. I heard part of the one song, and it was really boring country rock. And I said, what? Country music was not happy with their Sugarland? They needed a new Sugarland? I don't know. So whatever
they're just non-offensive. It's on. Mm-hmm.
If you can put it on, and nobody will be offended, but that's when I get offended. So, and then well, what was mean, the other, what was the other record?
Though, too, though, the big surprise, though, is I listened to, hang on, what's going on, hon?
Uh-oh. Your house on fire.
Eli needed in? Okay. Sorry. Okay.
Okay.
It was the Lady Gaga record, even though I didn't like Suburbs, all that, I'm just not a big Arcade Fire fan, but I do understand Arcade Fire. I never trash them. I'm just not the biggest fan of Arcade Fire, but I will say I have heard the Lady Gaga record, and I think that that's a better record than the Arcade Fire is. I mean, as far as pop goes, I mean, she wrote most of those songs on there, which is a credit to what most pop stars do not do, is she wrote most of those songs, and they're damn fine, catchy, really good pop music, even though I don't listen to it on a day-to-day basis. That's two records I don't listen to on a day-to-day basis, and I would have to give it to Lady Gaga, because I thought that's brilliant that she was able to make that good of songs on her own, come out of nowhere like that. I do think Lady Gaga, that's a better record, and I don't even like it.
See, I don't like Lady Gaga in that I don't hate Lady Gaga, but I don't think she's very impressive musically. Fashion-wise and all of the visual aspects.
Oh, forget all that.
Well, but that's the part. That's the part that everybody focuses on. And if I were to be so bold as to imagine that the Grammy voters actually listened closely to the five albums, which I don't believe that they did, but let's say that they did, if they just sat down with the Lady Gaga record in a plain white-walled room at a plain card table and just listened to it over headphones, they'd probably be stuck by how normal and almost generic most of the songs are. Because visually, the girl's bringing 110%, showed up to the Grammys in an egg, running around. I mean, she's just causing craziness to happen. But with the music, it is not innovative. It's not anything new. She's not changing the game up. Shit's the same as what we heard before. The new song, Born This Way, I mean, I don't think it sounds...
Okay,
we won't talk about that one.
The album that was out, though, I still think, though, that she's Madonna. Okay, she's the new Madonna.
She's white and blonde. That's I think where the Madonna thing comes in. I don't think the songs have much sticking power. I don't think they have an indelible sound. You don't need the video for Borderline or Into the Groove or Material Girl to enjoy those songs. I hear a song like Alejandro or Bad Romance or Telephone, and I think, the video for this was pretty interesting. Song, not so much. Bad Romance is the only one that sort of – that was the closest I think she came to making something more interesting, but at the same time, I still didn't find it that good. It's still her best song, though. But when people say, "Oh, that's the one, that's the song," I'm like, "That's not the song. She's getting there." And I think now if I can talk about Born This Way, the build up to this song was, this is Lady Gaga. She's gonna break out now. She's million seller. She's beloved. She's got this hardcore fan base. The world is her oyster. She can make any type of song she wants. She can get crazy avant-garde. She can call Bjork up, steal some shit from her. You know, really bring it. No, she makes a song that sounds mostly like a retread of a Madonna song from 20 years ago with the same content even. I don't know. I'm left underwhelmed. You know, but that's just me. I'm sure it'll be a big hit. I think the best part is that the song was like...
I think there's a chink in the armor, because Amber is a really big Lady Gaga fan. Loves the first two records. And she's not digging this new song. I think the whole lesbian angle is a little hard to take as well. The whole... And not that, you know, not that obviously that... that the Fritz household here is against gays and lesbians or anything, but it is a little preachy on the gay and lesbian as well, which is also a little, you know.
I mean,
don't
I don't know. I didn't really think it was any different than anything else she's kind of said herself. It's just she put it into a song form. I don't know. I listened to it twice. I played it for Rachel, and she, after like a minute and a half, I think she said, "Oh, it sounds like that Madonna song. Turn it off." So there you go. I'm sure, you know, people who love Lady Gaga will be all set with this one, but she will continue to be innovative in a visual sense. And in an audio sense, she will continue to make rather generic sounding stuff that people will associate with the images and say, Lady Gaga, what a trendsetter. She's wild and crazy. But no. Cannot co-sign that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why I'm trying to defend Lady Gaga.
I don't either. I don't get you, man.
I really don't like Arcade Fire.
All right.
Do we even want to dig into a couple of Super Bowl trailers real quick?
Yeah, let's talk about...
Do we have anything else on our list that we're forgetting here?
No. Okay. No, we don't.
So, real quick, we can mention some of the Super Bowl trailers.
Okay. Transformers.
To me, I saw...
Talk to me. You're hardcore. No one's more hardcore than you.
Well, here's the thing you know, I am hardcore Transformer because I collect toys of them. I have a large collection. In fact, that's, you know, I enjoy collecting the Transformers. I love the first movie. I thought the first movie was action-packed. I really didn't mind the Michael Bay. I thought it was fantastic. The second movie was jumbled beyond all hell. So I really don't have high expectations for the third one. And to me, when I saw the trailer for the new one, now granted, it's not much of a trailer. I mean, it really
is. It's a teaser.
Yeah, it's a bunch of clips thrown together, so you can't really get an idea of what the movie's going to be about, besides the fact that the moon's involved. But it looked to me like the first time when I saw the first movie, seeing these gigantic transforming robots battling each other was so, like, mind-blowing. You're like, oh my god, look at all the little gears and everything. And the fight scenes that they kept showing on there, I was going... Wow, this looks like the end of the first movie when they were in the streets fighting Megatron. There was absolutely nothing new that we haven't seen before.
What can you do with fighting robots once you've had them fight?
I mean, the only thing I'm praying to God that those stupid twins aren't in the...
No, they're not. They're not. They're gone.
And you know, I think they fixed another problem, which is no more Megan Fox in there.
I noticed that the one shot you get of the girl in the movie is her standing motionless in front of rubble. And I said, okay, I mean, Megan Fox couldn't do that. Like, I mean, it was clear when I saw that. I said, okay, they just needed a girl to stand in front of rubble. So Megan Fox clearly must have pissed off Michael Bay, and that's why.
She's so not in the movie. I think really, though, even if this new one comes back like the same quality as the first movie is the first movie was just charming. It wasn't a good movie. It was just charming to have Transformers back, mm-hmm. the retro back, you mm-hmm. know, seeing the, you know, seeing good, detailed, animated, you know.
Right.
Things transform was pretty charming. Mm-hmm. I won't go on and say it was a good movie by any means. I thought it was action, you know, mindless action flick. But I think that it really is. I mean, Michael Bay said he's done after this one, anyways.
Thank so God.
Even if it's of the caliber of the first movie, it just doesn't have the same effect anymore, does it? You know, it just doesn't.
As I said mere moments ago, once you have robots fight, what do you do with them? That's it.
So they can talk all they want, but that's not what we want.
Oh, no, it is not. Oh, God, no, it is not.
So then we got the barrage, the bewildering amount of superhero movies on the way. Felt a little overwhelmed by that.
Okay, well, let's rate those. Okay, Thor doesn't look like it's going to be that good. They keep showing us the same shit, and it acts like it wants to be a big movie, but it really looks small, and the shots of Asgard are not very good or convincing.
This is what I really think about Thor, though, is they did what we wanted to do, but that's not really what we want. Is they went and found an actor that really does look like the character of Thor.
Yes.
And we're like, why can't you, you know what I mean? Why can't you just find someone that looks like the character they're supposed to be? And then you get it, and then you're like, why couldn't we have maybe a bigger named, more talented actor in this spot? That was the big underwhelming part about me, was I was just like, who the hell is this guy?
He was Captain Kirk's dad in Star Trek.
Ooh.
Yeah. No. There you go. That's how you get hired. You get a little part in one movie, and they're like, go to the gym, we'll make you Thor.
He does look like Thor. I'd give him that. But beyond that, no. And then what are the other ones? I'm forgetting now. There's Captain America,
which that trailer was balls out. That trailer was awesome.
I got nothing but nice things to say about that.
Yeah. And Chris Evans, he's usually the best part of any garbage movie he's in. So if he's in an actual good movie, all right, I'll take that.
See, he didn't look to me iconically like Captain America, but it looked like he was playing Captain America.
Yeah, well, once he puts that uniform on, I think that'll do all that heavy lifting that you need, because Captain America without the mask is literally just a blonde chiseled guy. So Chris Evans having sandy brown hair, I'm gonna let that slide.
They should have switched it up. They should have had Thor guy play Captain America and vice versa.
Well, Chris Evans is American. The guy who's playing Thor is British. British guy playing Captain America? Hey, you've seen the uproar about the fact that a British guy is going to play Superman? Oh!
No. So wait a minute. I didn't hear that there was an uproar that a British guy was going to play.
Oh, yes. People are not happy.
Superman so iconically American, given the fact that he's from planet Krypton.
I know. Listen, I'm not upset about it. I'm upset they're making another Superman movie I'm going to have to sit through. Okay? That's all I'm upset about.
There's another Superman, the new Spider-Man as well. They're showing screenshots of that, and it's looking weird.
I don't know. The costume looks good. I think the costume looks better than the costume from the first movies.
I thought the first movies looked iconically Spider-Man. These new pictures that we're seeing, it's looking a little more out there. And I kind of like the classic feeling Spider-Man.
I mean, I like that too. And don't get me wrong, there's no way this one will be better than Spider-Man 2, which is the best Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But it should be entertaining. And, you know, I like Andrew Garfield. Rachel likes Andrew Garfield. Emma Stone's in it. I like Emma Stone. I'm not going to be too upset. I think it'll be all right. I mean,
so was there a third one though? A third Super Movie Super Bowl one? Or no?
Let me pull up my list. No, the other trailer that we were going to talk about is the one for Fast Five.
Ooh, yes, Fast and Furious. There we go.
The Rock is chasing after Paul Walker and Vin Diesel through South America. He warns his team, don't let him get in the car. Don't let him get in the car. They get in cars. It's going to be great. That's my early prediction for Fast Five. If it has Vin Diesel and Paul Walker jumping into cars, The Rock is chasing them. He's upset they got in cars. He told his team, don't let him get in cars. It's going to be great.
See, now this is why I really think it is going to be great, because you could tell if you got Fast and Furious, right? Then they made Fast and Furious 2, was called...
Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah, Too Fast, Too Furious, right? Yes. So they were sitting there going, well, what do we name the sequel? Well, it's Too Fast, Too Furious. You know what I mean? Mm. So there's a lot of thought involved in that one.
Oh, a ton of thought.
And then Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. That's, you know what I mean? They're in Tokyo. That's what you got to call it. Then, you know, we're kind of done. And
legally.
Then they come back and they're like, well, what do we do? Okay, well, we'll just make it iconic. It'll be Fast, or The Fast and Furious.
No, they got rid of all that extra verbiage and just made it Fast and Furious.
Okay, that's what it was. Okay, yeah. Then this one. They didn't fuck around. They didn't have a bunch of guys sitting in a room going, okay, how do we work five in the title? It was just Fast Five. They obviously didn't spend millions of dollars trying to figure out the name of this movie. So that must mean that they put extra effort into actually making a movie.
Yes. That's right. I think you're right.
Which the movie is going to be Vin Diesel and Paul Walker driving in cars while cars blow up and people are chasing after them. What more do you need?
That's called Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So funny, though. You have robots fighting, it gets boring. But car chase scenes? No. Give me more.
Give me more. Yeah. Well, as long as Paul Walker and Vin Diesel are driving those cars. Or James Bond.
The fact Vin Diesel again, that's what's, you know, thank goodness there's not a Pacifier 2 to distract him from his time.
Thank God. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one time we should have Rachel on the podcast to talk about her feelings watching Find Me Guilty, which is the Vin Diesel movie where he has hair.
You know
one night she went on, I'd say it was at least a 5-minute rant about that movie. We're going to have you on one time, Rachel. She's in the other room. Let her know. So.
Well, this is what I was really cracking up about right now, was I was going to make a joke because Vin Diesel was in the Pacifier, you know, the kids movie, and he was once a, you know, big, you know, action star making his comeback. And I was thinking, wow, The Rock, he's doing the same thing. You know, he went and did a couple kids' movies, and now he's trying to get back into action stuff. And I go, wow, they should have substituted Vin Diesel with The Rock. And then, but wait a minute. The Rock is in Fast Five, isn't he?
It's the best of both worlds. It's cake. You have your cake, and you eat it, too, with Vin Diesel and The Rock. Yes.
Yes, I'm all in.
He's all in. It's like I said, Money in the Bank.
All right, I'm going to go watch Fast Five right now. I'm going to go to the movie theater and wait till it comes out. Because
there you go.
Camp
out for Fast Five. I don't know if you noticed, I don't know if it's in the Super Bowl trailer or there's another trailer, but there's a shot where they jump a car off a cliff and then like jump out the back like they did in XXX.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Vin Diesel and Paul Walker, and I like to think that they were just like, hey, that looked a lot of fun in XXX, and Vin Diesel's like, we can do it again, I don't care. Anything to put me in a movie.
I'm willing to bet that they actually just photoshopped him in there, just the second person. Yeah, just
yes, that'd be great. That would be footage. Honestly, if it was really like hacked together footage from XXX, I would laugh, and I would appreciate the callback. That'd be the only person who would be. All right. Well, I think that wraps up this podcast.
Oh, that'll do it. I got to go
right,
eat my birthday burnt dinner.
Enjoy your birthday burnt dinner, sir. How old are you turning, if we may ask?
What is it? 22?
22.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, there you go. 22 years old. That's great.
I'm at the age where I can start lying now.
You can start lying about your age. All right.
Well, I'm going back to school, so I got to be student age.
That's right. That's true. You got to go back and be like, I'm 22, you guys. Everybody likes Blink-182, right? That's the hot band. I'm down with that.
What's my age again? What's caller ID? I don't know.
You got to pull out your flip phone. Yeah.
Oh, I do have a flip phone.
I'm sorry. All right.
I've gone too far. Dumb phone is what it's called. So.
All right. Well, all right, sir.
Another Lauren and Fritz podcast.
That's it. Later. His name's Doom. They wonder just who is he, but don't worry. Believe me, you'll get busy when it comes to poetry. He's got plenty. La, la, la. Jump them in like jump rope, double dutch, then turn on the mic with a thumb stroke, subtle touch, cuddle clutch, is this thing on like the fling with Mrs. King Kong this spring gone? Sing a song of slap happy crappiness, he came to blow like it was strapped to his nappy chest, surely I jest, the best on a wireless mic, not an eye test, yet I digress, but why stress, try and remember when, maybe bit the tender skinned babysitter Gwendolyn, the type to hit and run and go tell a friend, word to elbow.